Welcome to the deep dive. You hear the word data everywhere these days, don't you?
Oh, constantly.
Especially in fields like education. It's kind of sold as this key to making smart, objective decisions. Sounds great on paper.
It really does. But, you know, that's where the core issue that our source material points out really lies. Data gets thrown around a lot, but often pretty imprecisely, especially in education settings.
Imprecisely how?
Well, there's often a really big gap, a massive difference, actually, between what gets called data-driven and what, you know, researchers actually do when they handle data and evidence.
Okay, that's interesting. So that's our mission for this deep dive, then, to unpack that difference, to figure out what really counts as solid evidence for making better decisions, and kind of cut through the buzzwords to see what's genuinely useful.
That's the plan. Let's get into it.
All right, so let's start with that common idea, the data-driven educator. Sounds good, right? Using research objectively. But you're saying the source suggests there's a disconnect in practice. What's that look like?
Yeah, the source describes it pretty clearly. These data-driven educators often lean towards using data that's just, well, conveniently available.
Conveniently available? Like what?
Almost always.
Yeah.
It means scores. Mm. Standardized test scores, maybe those standards-based tests, even the diagnostic ones teachers use in the classroom. Whatever's easy to get your hands on.
Okay, I get the appeal. It's right there. It's efficient, maybe. But what's the catch? What's the problem with just using what's easy?
Well, here's a big one the source highlights.
Wow.
The validity and reliability of these tests. They're hardly ever questioned.
Yeah. So are they actually measuring what they say they're measuring? And are the results consistent? That kind of thing.
Precisely. Those are fundamental questions. Validity, does this test really measure, say, critical thinking or just memorization?
Mm.
Reliability, if the same student took a similar test tomorrow, would the score be roughly the same? If you don't ask that, well, your foundation is shaking.
Makes sense.
And another thing, they tend to look for interesting and telling trends in the scores, spotting patterns, you know. But they rarely set out to answer specific questions with that data. It's more exploratory, less targeted investigation.
So pattern spotting, not question answering.
Right. And critically, they rarely use theory to interpret what they see.
What do you mean? Use theory.
Like understanding why scores might be low. Is it the teaching? Is it student background? Curriculum mismatch, motivation. Theory helps frame those potential explanations. Instead, the assumption is often just, well, the instruction directly caused the scores, and that explains all the trends. Full stop.
Hmm. So it sounds, I don't know, less like a real investigation and more like just looking at the scoreboard after the game.
That's a good way to put it. More observing what happened than really digging into the why or what does this actually mean for us.
Like you said, shaky foundations. So if that's the common way, how should we be approaching this? How do researchers do it differently?
Ah, well, this is where it gets really interesting. Researchers flip that whole process. They start by defining the questions they seek to answer.
Before they even look at data.
Absolutely. And they define the data methods they will use before gathering anything. It's all planned up front. Think of it like, well, you wouldn't build a house by just grabbing random lumber, right?
No, you'd need a blueprint.
Exactly. The research question and the methods are the blueprint. You know what you need to measure and how you're going to measure it to answer your specific question.
Okay, that's a massive shift already. Starting with the question, not the readily available numbers, forces a different kind of thinking.
It really does. And because they have that plan, they gather only the data they need. No fishing expeditions for random trends. It's focused.
More efficient, I guess.
Definitely. And here's another key difference. All data is interpreted in light of theory.
Back to theory again. So they use existing knowledge to make sense of the numbers.
Yes. Theory provides the framework, the potential explanations. So if they see a result, they can connect it to established ideas about learning or behavior or whatever the topic is. It prevents jumping to simplistic conclusions. Plus, researchers are constantly challenging themselves and their peers to justify all assumptions. Why did you choose this measure? Why do you think this factor is important?
Holding themselves accountable.
And a big part of that is they have to demonstrate the validity and reliability of instruments. The tests, the surveys, whatever generates the data. Proof is required.
Which connects back to that earlier point about just accepting convenient test scores. Researchers have to prove their tools are sound.
They do. And the source really hammers this home. Researchers challenge themselves and peers to demonstrate the quality of their data and conclusions. And here's the kicker. Conclusions based on invalid or badly collected data or unethically collected data must be discarded.
Wow. Okay, so there's a really strong ethical and quality standard there. You can't just use bad data.
Nope. That rigor, that discipline, that critical thinking, that's what elevates simple information or data into trustworthy evidence.
That makes the distinction much clearer. It's not just semantics. It's a fundamentally different process.
A world of difference.
And you mentioned the source connects this research approach to real benefits, even for folks like IT managers. So for someone listening, maybe not in education or research, what's the payoff for thinking more like a researcher about data?
The benefits are very practical. First off, more efficient processes.
That's so.
Because as we said, planners use theory to focus efforts on relevant factors and only relevant factors.
Yeah.
You're not wasting time and resources collecting or analyzing stuff that doesn't actually matter for your question. You zero in.
Cuts out the noise. Okay.
Leads to more effective decisions, quite simply because you're using multiple reliable and valid data sources. You're building a stronger case, a more complete picture, not just relying on one potentially flawed number.
Right. Triangulation, kind of, using different angles.
Exactly. Which then leads to more effective interventions. Because your actions are focused on locally important factors, what actually matters here in this situation, and you have a clear rationale for why you're doing what you're doing.
So it's targeted, not just a shot in the dark.
Precisely. And finally, it means your assessments and evaluations of whatever you did become more accurate and more informative. The evidence is clear. It's understood. So you can actually learn from it and improve next time.
That's the real learning loop, isn't it? That clarity makes continuous improvement possible instead of just guessing if something worked.
You got it.
That feels like the aha moment. This isn't just ivory tower stuff. This disciplined, research-like approach has direct consequences for effectiveness, for efficiency, for actually getting things right in the real world.
Absolutely. It's about moving from just collecting numbers to generating real insight.
Okay. And just to add a bit more context, the source briefly touches on two main types of research that kind of feed into this whole system of building knowledge, right?
Yeah. It distinguishes between pure research and applied research.
So pure research, what's the goal there?
The main goal of pure research is to generate and test theory. It's about understanding fundamental principles, how things work. Think discovering gravity or basic principles of learning. It often looks for cause and effect relationships, maybe using tightly controlled experiments and often quantitative data numbers.
Foundational knowledge building, got it. And applied research.
Applied research, sometimes called technology development, takes those fundamental discoveries from pure research and aims to develop useful technologies or practical tools.
Ah, so building the airplane based on the principles of aerodynamics discovered by pure research.
That's a perfect analogy. People doing applied research want to create efficient and effective tools that solve real-world problems, leveraging that basic science.
Okay, so one builds the deep understanding, the other builds the practical application. Both contribute to the evidence base we rely on.
Exactly. They work together. Understanding both helps you see where knowledge comes from, whether it's a fundamental principle or a tested solution.
Right. So when we hear data-driven, we can start thinking, is this based on just observing a number? Or is it connected to some deeper understanding, maybe some pure research, and developed thoughtfully, like applied research? It adds layers to how we evaluate claims.
It gives you more tools for critical thinking about the information you receive.
So wrapping this deep dive up, it really feels like the main takeaway is this huge difference between just grabbing data and carefully, rigorously building evidence.
It's the heart of it.
The real value isn't just having information. It's the whole process, how you gather it, how you check it, how you interpret it, the theory you bring to it.
Yeah, and hopefully this discussion gives you, the listener, a framework, a way to start asking tougher questions when someone presents you with data, to push for that rigor.
Definitely. It encourages that critical lens. So the final thought to leave you with. Next time you come across a claim that's supposedly data-driven, what specific things will you ask now? What questions will help you figure out if it's genuinely backed by solid evidence or if it's maybe just, well, a conveniently collected number?